Israel, Amrem Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Treasure of the Dead Sea Caves, was written by Mark Siegel and was based on an article by Yitzhak Ivry, a member of the staff of the Department of Education and Culture of the Jewish Agency.
This way, Ali. This way.
I can't see, Muhammad.
Here, I will hold the torch higher.
It casts such shadows, Muhammad.
Oh, there's nothing to fear from a shadow?
I don't like this cave, Muhammad. I'm going back, out into the light.
No. Stay, Ali. I will show you what I heard.
I don't care what you heard, Muhammad. This cave, it frightens me.
Give me a stone, Ali. Now listen. I will throw it. You see? The sound of a pottery jug breaking.
Oh, please, Muhammad, let's go back.
Oh, do not be a child, Ali. If there are jugs in this old cave, something must be in them. In those jugs, there may be a treasure. There may be gold or silver.
There are treasures which surpass in value all the gold and all the silver in the world. The timeless treasures of the human spirit. This is the story of the discovery of a long-lost treasure of the human spirit, a discovery which adds to man's search for understanding and the meaning of his existence. The story begins in the spring of 1947 in a cave on the western shore of the Dead Sea in the Holy Land, a cave into which two Bedouin boys have wandered in search of treasure.
In those jugs, there may be treasure. There may be gold. Or silver. Let's go farther.
Wait, Muhammad. I'm coming. Well,
come on, then. Look. Here's a broken jug.
And the pieces of another.
Ali, here. This way.
Well, what is it, Muhammad?
I found it. We'll be rich, Ali.
Rich? From those old jugs?
Oh, let me but open them. Here, hold the torch. Ah, there. It's coming. It's off.
It is an evil odor.
Oh, not evil, friend. It's the odor of age.
Whatever it is, I don't like it. What's inside?
Here, we shall see. Hold the torch closer.
Is that all that's in that lump wrapped in cloth?
Yes. That's all. It does not seem heavy enough for gold.
Can it be some other kind of treasure?
I will strip the wrappings from it.
Why, it's no treasure at all. Only a scroll with some writing on it.
Yes. Writing. Yet, it is strange writing, Ali.
Perhaps it tells where the treasure's hidden.
Perhaps. But I cannot read the writing. Surely it is not Arabic.
The writing on the scroll, and on six others which Muhammad and Ali found, was not Arabic. Yet the youths, who were part of a band of smugglers trading in contraband, thought the scrolls might have some value. They carried them with them to their destination in Bethlehem.
Ah, welcome, Muhammad.
Greetings, Haddad.
You have come to buy supplies for your return to Transjordan?
Yes, Haddad, to buy. And perhaps to sell.
To sell? What have you to sell?
These which I carry.
Ah, and what are they?
Scrolls, Haddad, of great age, which I found in a cave.
Well, I am not a dealer in antiquities, my friend. Goods for the traveler, those I have. But who would buy these from me?
I offer them to you for next to nothing, Haddad.
And how much is next to nothing?
20 pounds. All 7 scrolls for 20 pounds.
That is not next to nothing. Also, I have no use for them.
Oh, Haddad, these are no ordinary scrolls. They're not written even in Arabic, but in a strange and mysterious language. Well, someone will pay you well for them. Someone who understands the strange language.
Well, let me look at them. Cannot hurt to look. True. It is a strange writing. Perhaps from the olden times.
Haddad, you are a Syrian, yes?
Yes, I am a Syrian.
Well, perhaps it is Syrian writing, then, from the olden times.
You think so?
Perhaps it tells of great heroes and mighty deeds of Syria.
It is possible. There were great heroes who did mighty deeds amongst my ancestors.
Well, then you will buy them? You will pay the 20 pounds?
No, my friend, I will not. But I will send word to the Metropolitan Samuel in Jerusalem. If these scrolls are truly ancient Syrian books, he might take them off your hands.
The Metropolitan Samuel, head of the Syrian Jacobite Church in Palestine, eventually purchased 4 of the 7 scrolls, although they were written not in ancient Syrian, but in Hebrew. His interest was stimulated by 2 facts. The scrolls had been found in a part of Palestine uninhabited for centuries, and the mummy-like wrappings in which they were encased seemed to him, although he was no archaeologist, proof of their antiquity. For 5 months, the Metropolitan sought confirmation of his guess from experts in Syria and Jordan.
The head of the department is in Paris, monsieur. As for me, I really do not care to see them. You see, I do not read the Hebrew.
I doubt they're antiquated, Mr. Metropolitan. Probably they were stolen from some synagogue somewhere. When? I'd say about 1929.
My dear sir, you're wasting your time. These scrolls aren't worth a shilling.
There were other authorities highly qualified to judge the authenticity of the scrolls in the Metropolitan's possession, but they were not readily accessible, for it was a time of tension, those 5 months in 1947, during which the Metropolitan Samuel puzzled over the unfamiliar Hebrew script of the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Jewish community of Palestine waited day by day for a decision of the United Nations that would authorize the establishment of a Jewish state. The decision came on November 29, 1947, and among those thousands of Jews in Jerusalem who followed the news minute by minute that day were Professor Eliezer Sukenik, head archaeologist of the Hebrew University, and his son Yigael Yadin, also an archaeologist and a commander in Haganah, the Jewish Army of Defense.
We interrupt this broadcast for a special bulletin.
Yigael, here it is. It's coming. Turn the volume up, Father.
Right. Headquarters of the United Nations in New York City relating to the Palestine question now before the General Assembly. The General Assembly, by a vote of 33-13 with 10 abstentions, has adopted the report of the ad hoc committee approving the partition of
Palestine. They've done it, Yigael. Thank God, Father. Thank God.
I thank him. And I thank him for letting me be alive in this time to witness it. Think, after 2,000 years.
Yigael, find some glasses. We must have a glass of wine in celebration.
A quick toast, then, Father.
Quick?
Yes, I must report to the command post.
You think there'll be trouble, Yigael?
I hope not. But there are extremists who will fight this decision of the United Nations, and we'd better be prepared.
Here, then.
To the rebirth of the Jewish state. And to peace. I'll see you later, Father. That is, I hope I will.
Good. Let whoever it is in on your way out, Yigael.
Right, Father.
Not today, Joseph. Not today. Today is for celebration, not for looking at fragments of manuscripts.
Only there's something about this
one.
Well,
let me see it. From whom did you get this, Joseph?
A dealer in Bethlehem.
And he has the scroll from which this comes?
He has three scrolls, he says.
Oh, where does he say they were found?
In a cave near the Dead Sea, near Ein Feshka.
Near Ein Feshka. I might have known.
You might have known?
Look for yourself through the magnifying glass.
I looked at it before I brought it to you.
Well, do you see the style of the script?
Well, it seemed unusual. It's why I hurried here with it.
Well, have you seen the copy of the Nash Papyrus?
The Nash Papyrus? What's that?
It's in the British Museum.
Well, what about it? Well,
never mind, Joseph. I'd rather not say yet. Give me the magnifying glass again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you make anything out of it?
I'm trying. Here. Ma Rahoru Al-Hahorim. It's Isaiah.
You sure?
Yes. Yes, Isaiah 2. Here, I'll translate. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger of good tidings, that publisheth peace, that announceth tidings of happiness. That's all there is. Joseph, you say the dealer in Bethlehem has three scrolls like this?
That's what he said.
Then I must go to Bethlehem.
Right now,
immediately.
But with conditions so unsettled, is it safe?
I'll check with Yigael. He'll know.
Then you think these scrolls are important, huh?
Think! I may be wrong, Joseph. Perhaps these scrolls are not what I think they are, but if they are, No, I don't dare even say what I think they are.
Professor Eliezer Sukenik did not sleep that night. Half a dozen times he returned to his desk to peer through his magnifying glass at the delicate script traced upon the surface of the fragment of parchment brought him by Joseph, the dealer in antiquities. When he could wait no longer, in the early hours of the new day, he presented himself at his son's Haganah command post in Jerusalem.
Yigael, I've told you what I think these scrolls are. The question is, do you think I can make it to Bethlehem?
You're asking me as a military man, Father?
Well, all right, as a military man.
Then I have to tell you, you shouldn't make the journey. They've been ambushing cars and buses on the road to Bethlehem.
I didn't ask if they'd been ambushing cars. I asked if you think I should go.
And I told you.
All right, then. Let's forget you're a military man. You're an archaeologist, too. You understand the possibilities.
As an archaeologist, I'd say, yes, you must go.
Well, good. That's what I wanted to hear. In fact, I have the car outside.
You just happen to have the car with you.
And my valise in it, packed.
Oh, you're impossible, Father.
Never mind if I'm impossible. You've told me what I wanted to hear.
Only as an archaeologist, Father. As your son, my opinion has to be reserved.
Hello? Anyone here?
Yes. Coming, sir.
You're Mr. Haddad, the merchant?
That is my name.
Where are they? Do you still have them?
Have what,
the
sir?
The scrolls, of course. The scrolls of which this is a fragment.
Ah, perhaps I do and perhaps I don't.
Mr. Haddad, I have no time to play games.
No time even to bargain?
Please, if you have the scrolls, I should like to see them.
Obviously, sir, you have not had much experience in buying.
Mr. Haddad, I have not come to Bethlehem to discuss my qualifications as a buyer. I have come to purchase the scrolls of which this fragment is a part.
I must give you some advice, sir, for your own good.
I don't want advice. I want the scrolls.
An attitude like that, it will cost you money.
Name the price. If it's fair, I'll pay it.
Well, if you wish it that way.
I do. Well, where are the scrolls?
I will fetch them. Excuse me, sir. A last question. Where did you mention you were from?
I didn't.
Would you be good enough to tell me? I should like to know where one finds customers so willing.
I'm from Jerusalem.
From Jerusalem? Today?
Today.
That is a long way, today.
Mr. Haddad, I would have come 1,000 miles today if necessary. Now, please, may I see the scrolls?
Through the month of December 1947, Professor Sukenik studied the three scrolls he had acquired for the Hebrew University. And in January 1948, he directed a memorandum to foreign correspondents in Jerusalem.
An announcement of the greatest importance will be released at a press conference in the office of the Jewish Agency
tomorrow afternoon at 4. You are cordially invited to attend.
It required some courage to attend the professor's press conference.
Professor Sukenik.
Yes?
We don't want to rush you, sir, but...
Well, it's still 5 minutes before the hour. Perhaps there will be others.
Anyone who's not here now isn't getting here, Professor. Not in this barrage. I think everyone's here anyway.
You're sure all of the major wire service correspondents are here?
All but one, Professor. He's in the next room.
Would you mind asking him to join us?
Well, he's not quite up to it, Professor. He fainted in the street on the way in. Gentlemen, Professor Sukenik's ready to make his statement.
Gentlemen, in order to understand the importance of what I have to tell you, I must first sketch in a few background facts. The earliest text of the Hebrew Bible we have, what we call the Masoretic text, dates from about the 9th century. Before that period, our main versions of Scripture are in Greek and Latin. Practically all of our knowledge of the Bible has been based on these two translations and this very late Hebrew text.
Professor Sukenik, I don't mean to be disrespectful,
but
you call us here for an important news announcement.
I'm getting to that.
Couldn't you get to it a little faster? This isn't exactly the best time and place for a lecture on the Bible.
Not the best time? Why not?
More than an hour on that January day in 1948, while the bombs burst and shells screamed overhead, Professor Sukenik talked about the three scrolls he had acquired in Bethlehem.
Of these three scrolls, gentlemen, two are hitherto unknown works. The first I have called the Scroll of the Battle between the Sons of Light and the Sons of Darkness.
That's an appropriate title, Professor.
Perhaps it is. The second of these unknown works is a scroll of Psalms of Thanksgiving, perhaps in addition to the Psalms of David. The scroll of the battle between the Sons of Light and the Sons of Darkness...
As the professor talked, the correspondents who had gathered began to understand why they had been asked to run the gauntlet of the barrage. But the full import of Professor Sukenik's announcement came in his summation.
After studying these scrolls closely and applying all the tests at our command... The dramatic fact is that these scrolls are over 2,000 years old. This scroll, which I hold in my hand, is of the book of Isaiah. It is 1,000 years older than any Hebrew manuscript of Isaiah the eyes of modern men have seen to this time. This discovery, gentlemen, and I say this with emotion perhaps unbefitting a scholar, this discovery is the greatest biblical find of modern times. It brings us closer to those who wrote the Bible than we have ever been before.
Perhaps you're wondering what happened to the four Dead Sea Scrolls which were on the other side of the fighting lines in Old Jerusalem. In February of 1948, a month after Professor Sukenik's startling announcement, the Metropolitan Samuel succeeded in establishing contact with American and French scholars who recognized the value of the scrolls in his possession. Professor Sukenik soon learned of the existence of the additional scrolls. Late one night in March, the professor returned to his home to find his son Yigael waiting for him.
Ah, Yigael. You're off duty.
Father, where have you been?
Well, walking.
Just strolling through Jerusalem?
Well, yes, more or less. I've been trying to make contact with the Syrian Metropolitan.
What?
About the scrolls he has, Yigael.
Father, he's in the old city behind a solid wall of Arab legionnaires.
I haven't tried to get into the old city, Yigael.
Oh, really?
Only into the no man's land between the two lines.
You've been meeting someone in no man's land during this fighting?
Well, yes, but not with much success. In fact, with remarkable failure.
Father, let me make it clear... It's worth your life to be wandering around Jerusalem like this.
Yigael, you disappoint me. These scrolls, they're very important. The Metropolitan wants to sell them, and if he wants to sell them, then we should have them here.
Agreed.
Do you know what the scrolls he has are? A commentary on the book of Habakkuk. A manual of discipline of an ancient Jewish sect. Isaiah 1.
Yes, Father, but...
These scrolls, Yigael, they're windows on the past.
They will illuminate a whole period of ancient Jewish history.
Of course, but there are scholars on the other side of the lines.
Well, of course there are. Eminent scholars. And I wish I could work with them. But as yet, these scrolls aren't being touched. It's a loss to the whole world.
It must wait until there is peace.
No, Yegev. It cannot wait. The wisdom and understanding of those books, why, in a sense, they might help to hasten peace.
Perhaps. But I don't think you should sacrifice your life on that hope.
Sacrifice, Yegev? It is no sacrifice. Each age has a responsibility, Yegev, to help to build the temple of truth. To aid in that task is the highest privilege a man can ask. I will keep on trying.
I have news for you, Professor.
Good news, I hope, Mr. Haddad.
I do not think you will consider it so.
Nothing has happened to the scrolls, I hope. They haven't been damaged.
No, not damaged.
Then what is your news, Mr. Haddad?
The Metropolitan has sent them away to other scholars. They are no longer in Palestine. You are a surprising man, Professor. You do not seem disappointed.
Well, of course I am disappointed, but most important, I am glad they will be safe.
Even if you cannot have them?
Mr. Haddad, I think it would be most appropriate for the Jewish people to be custodians of these scrolls. But it is not a question of my having them or of simple physical possession.
Then why have you been meeting me?
So that the whole world may have them, Mr. Haddad. It does not matter who unlocks the ancient wisdom of the Dead Sea Scrolls. What matters is that they should not lie dormant and untouched.
The Dead Sea Scrolls have not remained unstudied. Professor Sukenik worked upon the three scrolls in his possession until his death in 1949. His son, Yigael Yadin, is continuing his work. Scholars in the United States, in France, and elsewhere are slowly resurrecting the words inscribed more than 2,000 years ago in the Holy Land. In the summer of 1954, Professor Sukenik's son, Yigael Yadin, then chief of staff of the Israel Army, was visiting the United States.
Hello?
General Yadin.
Speaking.
General, I know of your interest in the Dead Sea Scrolls, also of your late father's work on them.
Yes?
I'm calling to direct your attention to an ad in today's Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal? I don't understand.
Pick up the paper, General. You will.
The General bought the Wall Street Journal and found an advertisement under Miscellaneous for Sale.
The four Dead Sea Scrolls, biblical manuscripts dating back to at least 200 BCE, are for sale. This would make an ideal gift to an educational or religious
institution. With the help of the American Fund for Israel Institutions, and through the generosity of Mr. D. Samuel Gottesman of New York, the scrolls were purchased at a cost of $250,000, and the gift transported to Israel, where, in Jerusalem, the seven Dead Sea Scrolls are now reunited. There are treasures which surpass in value all the gold and all the silver in the world, the timeless treasures of the human spirit. And among these is the treasure of the Dead Sea Caves, a treasure which belongs to all mankind, enriching its reservoir of faith and wisdom. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Samuel M. Blumenfeld, Director of Education and Culture of the Jewish Agency. Dr. Blumenfeld.
The story of the treasure of the Dead Sea Caves might sound like a legend, yet it has occurred in our own day before our very eyes. It is indeed a contemporary reality. There is something challenging and fascinating in the fact that just as the state of Israel was being reborn, the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, one of the greatest discoveries in the history of Hebrew literature. It is as if fate sought to impress upon the minds of Jewry and all mankind the kinship between the New Israel and the ancient sources of its spiritual being, its sacred writings. The resolute efforts of the late Dr. Eliezer Sukenik, one of Israel's illustrious archaeologists, to preserve and interpret these scrolls were undertaken at times at serious risks to his safety. Yet his determination is symbolic of the reverence, pride, and devotion of the Jewish people, and particularly the Israelis, to the cultural treasures of their past. The people of the land of the Bible is engaged in a constant, energetic, almost feverish activity to uncover its origins. Hardly a month passes without a discovery illuminating some phase of ancient Jewish history, of Jewish faith and tradition. The discoveries are made by scholars and also by ordinary people in the course of their daily pursuits as farmers, builders, and workers. As an observer recently stated, it seems as if every Israeli is an amateur archaeologist, for Jewry, while building its new homeland, is also seeking to connect its new roots and the soil with its life in the Judean terrain some 2,000 years ago. What strikes anyone visiting the shrine in Israel, where the scrolls and other archaeological discoveries are on display, is the perfect blending of the old and the new, the past and the present. Historical objects in museums and shrines of other countries recall a forgotten past. The scrolls and other discoveries in Israel compose a mosaic of what Israel was, is today, and what it aspires to become tomorrow. These discoveries suggest more than a literary continuity of ancient and contemporary Hebrew writing. In the context of the grim realities confronting Israel today, the events recorded in these newly found scrolls acquire even greater meaning, for they provide a kind of modern version of the war between the sons of light and the sons of darkness of ancient days referred to in the presentation. The American philosopher and essayist George Santayana defines piety as reverence for the source of one's being, modern Israel, reaching out for the religious and cultural sources of its being through its rebuilding efforts, archaeological research, and literary labors, provides an example of the noblest piety.
Thank you, Dr. Blumenfield. Our eternal light drama today, The Treasure of the Dead Sea Caves, was written by Mark Siegel and was based on an article by Itzhak Ivry, a member of the staff of the Department of Education and Culture of the Jewish Agency. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Louis Van Ruten, Mandel Kramer, Louis Sorin, Mark Cavell, David Pfeffer, Guy Repp, Carl Weber, Sumner Gorman, and Charles Penman. Norman Rose was the narrator. This is Mel Brandt speaking. The music was composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Roy Shield. This has been an NBC Radio Network production directed by Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.